Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Bet on a Black Woman. I appreciate you joining me this week. I appreciate your listening ear and I appreciate your time. It has been a couple weeks, and while I did say on previous episodes I won't come on and give an excuse, but sometimes I just have feel inclined to, because I respect my community and I respect you, and I just do. I value my community. I have full intentions of, I think my last episode with you was January 25th. Before that, I talked about that I would be doing bi-weekly episodes. So my next episode would have been February 8th. And I got my wisdom tooth out on February 5th. I was taken out. Not taken out by the pain, but definitely taken out by the meds. I got my wisdom tooth out on the 5th. I was given prescription and medication to heal through the process, and that medication I absolutely hated. It was absolutely horrendous, but you know, it was for the greater good of getting Sabrina, getting Sab better, and it took me out. I took it that entire weekend and it just took me out. I had full intentions of coming on and trying to record, but one, the medication took me out. Two, talking and opening up my mouth wide. There's so many jokes that I can insert there, but opening my mouth and talking to you was a challenge. If I was just thinking about my comfort, I was thinking about my comfort and being able to talk to you, to speak to you and open up my mouth wide. I couldn't do that. Clearly the first weekend, but then the following weekend, I think it was like Valentine's Day weekend, I still was feeling like I can't just move my jaw like I wanted to, and without comfort. And now I'm in a space of, okay, I want to be able to open up my mouth wide to go to the dentist again and make an appointment, but I'm still not comfortable making an appointment yet, because you know, when you go to the dentist, you have to open up your mouth wide and keep it open for a while. And there's still a lot of tenderness and a lot of hurt. Not a lot, a little bit of hurt. So I'll give myself about another week or two before I make the appointment to the dentist. But that's ultimately the reason why. It was just the meds took me out and just the wisdom tooth. So it was a good experience with the actual procedural doctor, surgeon, if you call him a surgeon, because it was surgery, yeah. But it has been a bad experience right now with the billing. And this is what I have been trying to avoid, you guys. It has been... I am all about experiences, and that's why I do the DD, due diligence of doing the research on people, on doctors. You know, I look at Yelp reviews, I look at health reviews, I look at health grades, healthgrades.com, and I look at the doctors. I really do my due diligence because I want my experience to be a good experience from start to finish. Start meaning scheduling it, going in for the consultation, having the actual procedure done, and then afterwards with the billing. And I want it, at least for me, to be a good experience. So I look at the whole picture when I'm doing my due diligence. And it has not been a good experience. The afterwards, scheduling the consultation, it's like you dating a guy. Everything is great. You know, in the beginning, everybody is giving their representative presentation. But then afterwards, when they got what they got and they got the goods, and afterwards, when you're trying to make sure everything checks out, you know. So for me, my experience was I went in for a consultation a week prior. And then when I went in for the consultation, they said, this is how much your bill is going to be. This is how much you have to pay prior to the procedure. And it was a bill of $1,056.46. It was a lot. I'm like, for one fucking tooth? And yeah, they had to put me under anesthesia. Thank God, because I just don't think I would have been able to live through that experience of that. But they did put me under anesthesia. The anesthesia was a little over, like, under $600. as I looked at the itemized statement of things that they were going to charge me. But then when they gave me the itemized statement of things on the consultation, I felt like I was reading Chinese because I didn't understand it. And while I should have and could have sat there and said, can you explain all of this to me? Because it just looked like I was reading Chinese. My downfall for me was I decided to pay it day of just because I wanted to get it out the way. I didn't want to have to deal with all of that. But I did think it was high, but I didn't know that that shouldn't have been that high for one fucking tooth. Just imagine, I'm thinking to myself, if I had to get four wisdom tooth out, because typically you get the impacted molars out of your teeth. Typically those are called wisdom teeth. So it's the top or the bottom. And I have heard from multiple people that's usually four. It's your top and your bottom. I had one at the bottom and then that I needed to get removed. I've never had two at the top. And then I've never had one on the other side either. So it's just this one impacted wisdom tooth. I don't know. Maybe I just looked for the draw. I just never had two at the top, two at the bottom. But it's just not the one at the bottom. I didn't know if that was typical to pay $1,000. I was just like, damn, if I had to get four wisdom tooth out, it would have been $4,000. That's what I was thinking when I got the bill. But I paid the $1,056.40, and I'm going to continue to say that because that price, it means something. Because they charged me 45% over what it should have been. And the reason that I know this is because I received a statement from my insurance provider saying this is the patient's responsibility. My responsibility was like, it was like $450 or $460 or something like that. And I'm like, do I have to pay y'all too? I'm like, because I just paid the insurance company $1,056.40. Do the math. That's 45% over what I should have paid to the insurance, to the provider. And when I got the itemized statement from them initially when I did the consultation, and I'm telling you all this for a reason, because this episode has to do with adulting and the stresses of adulting. Because you should be checking your statement, billing statement. When you go to the medical doctor or when you get procedures done, you need to check your statements, itemized statements. I'm sharing this for a reason. Because as I was going through the statements with my insurance provider, they were like, they shouldn't have charged you for PPE. They charged me $40 for PPE, which is personal protective equipment. This is a buzzword that is known throughout for most of us. They charged me for that. They shouldn't have. So they need to be refunding me for that. And they also need to refund me for the amount that they overcharged me, which has me feeling a little frustrated because it feels like because of the area that I live in temporarily with my sister, which is a predominantly Black area, it feels like, did you overcharge me because this is a Black area and you feel like we Black people aren't going to pay our bills, so you're going to overcharge us up front so that you make sure that you have your money, and then any monies that you overcharge are just going to reimburse it? That's what it feels like. I don't know that for sure, obviously, but that's what this experience feels like, because it feels like, you know, if you've ever had that experience of going on a date with a guy, in my case, a guy, and you go on this date and it seems like it's great, but then he starts to act funny and starts to act weird as you guys continue to engage in conversation and correspondences. But, you know, he's not returning your calls. You know, he's not answering your text messages. He's not responding. I've never been that woman to constantly in a date. I fell prey to texting guys and then them not responding. But I am not someone who will constantly text a guy to say, hey, you're not responding. Hey. No, but it feels like that. It feels like that with this dental extraction company, oral surgeon. That's what it feels like. Not the actual oral surgeon, because, you know, he doesn't deal with the minutia of the billing, but he has a billing department. And in me trying to correspond with them, me trying to talk to them, getting contact with them. It's like, okay, it just hasn't been a good experience. I will spare you my experience unless you actually want to hear it. But I will spare you the experience. Thus far has not been a good one, and they will not be getting a good Yelp review from me because of my experience. You know, it may change. We'll see how it pans out this week as I try to contact them yet again this week. Last week, not so much, because we, as in us in Dallas, have been going through a little bit of a crisis here, a snow crisis here in Dallas. And I'm sure that you have read the news and seen the news of what has been happening here in Dallas with people being without water, roofs caving in, flooding, people and families literally freezing to death. Exorbitant electric bills as high as $16,000, $8,000. Yes, this is true. I've seen it. This has been the case. So yeah, it's just, that has happened here in Dallas. And let me rewind a little bit about the billing, because there's a moral to this story that I wanted to talk to you guys about that I am even learning myself throughout this process of billing. So I just shared with you the story of my billing scenario. There was a post that I saw on social media, and I think it was public. I feel like it was public, but I won't share any names publicly. It was a woman that I know in my city of Milwaukee, and we will call her Mrs. D. I'm sorry, Mrs. C. We'll call her Mrs. C at a hospital in Milwaukee. And I'll read to you her post, and I'll try to paraphrase different parts of what happened to her and the moral of her story in tandem with my story. Okay, so she said, so I had a parathyroidectomy back in August in 2020 to correct hyperparathyroidism. Fortunately, we have insurance, so though there would be some out-of-pocket costs, as is the case with most, the majority of it was covered. So I thought, she said, I recently received this updated bill from XYZ Hospital listing an unexpected $8,523 charge, IKYFL, meaning I know you fucking lying. She said, I called the insurance company yesterday simmering because I couldn't understand why they hadn't paid this bill. I had a wonderful agent, we'll call her Miss T, and you can tell she was a sister, who took the time to explain the situation. Mrs. T let out a and pauses a bit before saying, Mrs. C, I see the problem, but you about to be mad. I took a breath and said, don't tell me y'all not about to pay this bill. She said, what happened was the second doctor listed on your bill was in the surgery room listed as an assistant. They didn't perform your surgery, but they watched your surgery. That surgeon submitted this bill, and we didn't pay it because that surgeon, who was part of XYZ College, we'll call it MC College, okay? You know what? Medical college. We'll just say medical college is out of network. Had this been in network, the charge would have been $146.32. XYZ Hospital and MC College, medical college, work together, but bill separately, and insurances don't cover them. So she said, wait, she almost cussed. She said, so you mean to tell me some other doctor I've never met who wanted to watch my surgery be performed without my knowledge or permission thinks that I'm paying $8,523 goddamn dollars for the privilege of learning how to do the surgery, she said. And the agent said, you should be mad. This would have only been $146.32 in your network. And she said, what these doctors do is invite other doctors and friends to come view procedures and then bill insurance companies, hoping they don't catch it and just pay for it. We didn't pay for it, and that's why they submitted it back to you. Ain't that some shit? I'm sorry to be so loud, but ain't that some shit? So, I mean, I could go on and read, but the moral of her story is watch all your medical bills and be sure to ask about additional people attending your procedures. And if it is necessary, and it wasn't in her case, specify that the individuals must be in your insurance network. You always want to make sure that they're in your network, depending on your procedure, but it is at your discretion. But this is just an instance of us as recipients of the procedures just doing our due diligence. And I did not do my due diligence to say with my insurance company to say how much. I mean, I already knew how much they were going to pay, but I guess I should have done more due diligence to say, just to make sure, because I knew and I read through my procedure, I knew how much they were going to pay percentage-wise, but actual-wise, what the provider was going to charge and how they were going to charge it, I just should have did my due diligence, and they should have did their due diligence as well, because it almost felt like, again, that they were just guesstimating by charging me over 45% over. And it's infuriating that I'm having to go through this experience of give me my motherfucking money back. Why'd you guys overcharge me? That's why this is just frustrating. And that's why I'm using expletives right now during this session, because it infuriates me. And I called last week, and last week here in Dallas, we are going through a bit of a snow crisis, as I mentioned before. So a lot of people aren't in office, understood. So best believe this week they will be getting the first call will be a very, very calm, articulated earful of when you gonna give back my money. That's where I am. That's where I am. Another thing for me that happened this week is I am trying to open up another savings and checking account with a credit union here in Dallas. And that experience has been horrendous. And I am a huge proponent of experiences. It's all about the experience, because it speaks to how the company actually conducts business. It speaks to the principles of the business. It speaks to the level of empathy and understanding that the business attempts to exemplify. And it has been frustrating from start to finish, from the vernacular that they use over the phone with me. It's like they were a little too comfortable in knowing that it is a Black area. And I was a Black woman. Like, I can't code switch, but you can tell that I am a Black woman over the phone. And throughout some of our calls, some of their conversations felt a little bit like you get a little bit too comfortable with how you're talking to me. Also, I was attempting to, I had three times I tried to open up this savings account. Initially savings. I was thinking about opening up a checking, but through my experience, I decided just the savings. But even then, that experience made me decide I don't want to open up either. And that experience was me attempting to open up the savings. And then through the application process, they're asking you, how do you want to fund this account? Please enter in your checking account information, assuming from another bank. So I had to enter in my external checking account information, thinking that they were going to deduct or take this $25 starter fee, because you're asking me for my checking account information for a reason, right? This is what I'm thinking. And that turned out to be bullshit. And I assessed an overdraft fee. Ugh, I don't even want to go through that entire story. So I had to drive to the bank. Drive, meaning I got a new car this week or last week. And if those of you who've been listening to the podcast, you know my situation with the car. I got a new car last week. I am excited. I got a SUV, a mini SUV. So, so I had to drive through the branch, and I went through the drive-thru, filled out the little ledger thing. I haven't filled out one of those in years. So I filled out the ledger thing to fund the account, gave my debit card information from my previous bank. And then the teller came back on. She said, oh, dang, unfortunately, we aren't able to do the transaction right now because our computer systems are down. I said, okay. She said, you can go to the ATM around the corner. I was like, oh, okay, where is it? She said, it's on the other side of the building. I said, okay, I'll go to the other side of the building. I'll do the transaction so that I can fund this account. Went to the other side of the building to fund the account. Goddamn ATM said an out of order sign on it. I said, fuck this. Fuck this. This is what I said out loud. I was so mad because why didn't she know that the ATM was out? Why didn't you tell me it was out? The fact that I had to go to the branch, I couldn't do it online for whatever reason because you didn't deduct the amount. I got an overdraft fee, which they removed. Then I had to drive to the branch, go through the drive-thru. You couldn't do it through the drive-thru because your computer system was down. You said, go to the ATM. I went to the ATM. The ATM was down. Fuck this. I said, if this is going to be my experience in my attempt to open up a checking account, just imagine what my experience will be like having an actual checking account with you guys. It would be horrendous. I want to start my relationship out with you guys on the right foot, and it didn't start out on the right foot because I got an overdraft fee. The reason why I got an overdraft fee is because I entered in my checking account information. My bank, Chase Bank, attempted to deposit funds from my checking. They attempted to deposit 24 cents. I don't know how I assessed this overdraft fee. You know, I don't know, but they removed it. And so I have a negative $24 and some odd cents in my credit union account in my many attempts to fund this account for $25. I just want to start with the 25 just to see what this experience is like. And it has not been a good experience thus far. So it made me think about the principles of a great experience. There's levels to customer experiences, and it's, you know, having a continuous understanding of what's important to your customers. Understanding not just how likely your customers are to recommend you, but why. Understanding that this throughout the customer journey, it's a journey. So understanding all of this, reacting to customers in real time, and understanding how teams impact customer experience. From the teller over the phone to the teller in the drive-thru, it's all about my experience, user experience on the application process over the computer. It's all about user experience and customer experience. And each touch point, you guys, for me was not a good one. So I said, fuck it. I don't want to open up a checking account. And then when I attempted to close the checking account, I said, just close it. They said, we're going to charge you $25 to close it. I said, I want to talk to your manager. I did a whole goddamn Karen on them. Let me talk to your manager. So we'll just keep it at that. So I'm in the process of trying to close my grand opening, grand closing savings account with Go Federal Credit Union here in Dallas. Now America's Federal Credit Union here in Dallas. Fuck that. And I'm sorry to keep using the expletive, but that is my experience. That is where I'm at. It's all about adulting. I am in a space of adulting more. Like, I'm just trying to get back on my feet, you guys. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know my experience here. Excuse me, you know what my experience has been like. I just took a sip of my Chardonnay. It has not been a good one. That's the premise. That's the antithesis of how this podcast started, with me and my experiences. And I realized as I'm recording and as I got ready to record today, that I know that the podcast topic and how this podcast started will evolve. And if you are still willing to rock with me, I would appreciate you still rocking with me. But I realized about a week or two ago that the content of this podcast will evolve from my experience in jobbing to my experience on the job and just my experience in life. Because the job is going good. And it almost feels a little bit too good to be true. And what I enjoy about the job is my biweekly check-ins with my direct report. I've never had that with the company before. In past, with a company. I used to work for Chase long, long time ago, out of college, first job out of college. And you would have your quarterly, you know, check-ins for your raises, I believe. But I've never had a bi-weekly check-in. And in the beginning with my current role, you know, the bi-weekly check-ins felt like a, oh, what did I do wrong this week? Or what's the problem this week? And because I've never had that. So it's just me getting comfortable with checking in bi-weekly with my boss. And it's more of a, she just wants to see what I'm working on, see where I am, see if I'm encountering any problems, where can she jump in to help, how she can help me navigate the job and my job plan at the company, my career structure with the company. I've never had that before, so it just feels really good to have that in a company, and a company really being intentional about their employees, a company that I work from home, I work remotely, and while it can seem monotonous, this company has done in my opinion, a really wonderful job of keeping its employees engaged civically with volunteer opportunities, whether it be online and how they are doing that online and or in person. There is an in-person opportunity that I have coming up. Also, we have these Zen sessions online. We meet through Teams. A lot of it is through video, and it doesn't feel, I don't have, you know, how some people talk about having Zoom or video fatigue. It doesn't, I don't feel fatigued. It's spread out. We have these sessions where we have these health professionals come in and we do these chats and talks to make sure the employees are mentally okay and mentally feeling well, and to just keeping us connected. This company is doing in my opinion, a good job. And then even with my boss, I don't even like calling her my boss because she just doesn't feel like a boss. It feels like a relationship. And that's why it just still feels like too good to be true, because when I was doing my research on this company, when I was interviewing, I looked at the Glassdoor reviews and LinkedIn reviews. I was looking at all the reviews on the company and doing my research on the CEO. I did my due diligence on everything, and everything checked out. And that's why I was really excited and looking forward to, and that's why I went so hard for this company, because of what I was reading about. And as I'm here, it just feels, and while no company is perfect, because there, no company is perfect, I'll just say that. And, you know, every company has its missteps. And this company has had some interesting missteps. Misstep. And they corrected it swiftly. I'm just proud to work for this company. And while my loyalty will still remain with SAB, and I've talked about this before, your loyalties with the company, you shouldn't have loyalties with the company, because, you know, if I were to die tomorrow, my job would be posted a week later. So keep that in mind. I keep that in mind all the time, every day, right? So I talked about the principles of adulting and how adulting can be a pain. But I also just want to speak to the 7 rules of life of adulting. And one, it says smile. And I'll insert and say smile and move, because it's always, it always works out in the end. 2, be kind. You have the power to make people feel good. 3, do not give up. It doesn't work for the first time, find another way. 4, don't compare. Everyone is on a different journey. 5, and avoid negativity. Avoid negative thoughts, situations, and people. 5, make peace with your past. Focus on being present and creating a better future. 7, take care of your body and mind. One struggles to survive without the other. And I wanted to share that with you because, as you know, I'm adulting for a minute. We've all been adulting for a minute, but sometimes adulting just hits you and slaps you a little hard. Like, I'm adulting. This adulting stuff is a challenge, and you know, it's a challenge, and sometimes you just have to smile and move, and you just have to focus and intentional about how you navigate this, because you navigating it is your space of growth, right? You figuring out how to do it is where the growth comes, right? And I continue to think about that all the time. I continue to think about how, Sabrina, are you navigating this space of adulting, and what are you learning in this experience of adulting? So I think about that intentionally, and I want you to be intentional about that and thinking about that, because, you know, as I'm going through these pains, growing pains, adulting pains, I was looking up adulting memes in preparation of this podcast episode. I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is a part of adulting that we all don't like, but it is a growth process. It is a process, and we all want to grow from it, and I want to grow from it, and I want to get better. I'm going through a journey in life right now. There are so many things that I am working on simultaneously, and every day, you guys, I'm just like, there's so many things that I'm doing. Even now, as I'm recording this podcast, I'm thinking, okay, do I finish editing it, or do I finish my work? There's still things that I have to do for work and that I'm thinking about that I want to do, but there's also things that I want to do and I'm continuing to do for me personally and professionally. I've always been interested in stocks, but options is my new interest. Stocks and options trading is where I am right now. Actually, I've been on it for about a year and a half, just studying and educating myself on it. I've always been into stocks, but just not at the level that I am now. And that's just where I am right now. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, I'm learning that this is something that I really like. And it's fun. And I was reading this article on Yahoo Finance yesterday about how to make stocks fun. And gosh, the fundamentals and the technical is fun for me. But that's a whole nother episode that I can talk to you about later. Let's see what else. Also, I wanted to talk to you about... Okay, so I have had healing crystals for about a year, about since 2017, not a year, it's been more than a year. And I bought 3 crystals back in 2017, maybe 2018. And I just recently started sleeping with the healing crystals under my pillow sheet. Not under my pillow, because I move a lot when I sleep, but I started to sleep with them under my pillow sheet. And there's 3 that I purchased back in that time. There's 3. So I purchased and now everything that I talked to you about in today's episode will be in the show notes. So I sleep with 3, a carnelian, a black tourmaline, and a citrine spelled C-I-T-R-I-N-E. So they all mean different things. And the black tourmaline is for mind and emotion purposes. It's meant to address anxiety, critical attitude, and fear. Physically, dyslexia, and an E word that I do not understand. It's electromagnetic pollution. No clue what that means. I'm sure I can do the Google search to learn, but I don't want to. But I bought it when I went to the crystal shop and she explained to me what it meant at that time. That's why I purchased it. The next one is, what's the next one that I purchased? Carnelian. It is spelled C-A-R-N-E-L-I-A-N. And the color is kind of like an orangish, light orangish color. And it's meant to address the mind, in your mind, abuse, anger, diffusing the anger, and courage, happiness, jealousy, peacefulness, rage, and self-confidence. Physically, it's meant to the abdomen, allergies, anorexia, bulimia, asthma, backache, chronic fatigue, colon, exhaustion, gallbladder, infertility, and vitality. The last one, the centurion one, is like a yellowish orange one that I bought. And it's meant to address communication, courage, creativity, happiness, hope, phobias, self-confidence, self-esteem, and shyness for the body, diabetes, the digestive system, the metabolism, obesity, and wealth. I sleep with those under my pillow. And I promise you guys, it feels like for me, these last couple of nights that I've been sleeping with it, I don't know what I've been dreaming about. I think I've just been at peace. My mind has been clear. My psyche has been clear. My chakras have been clear. I'm just telling you my experience with these gems. And I will lean into them more. I'm in a good place, you all. I'm feeling better. I feel like I'm getting back on my feet. And for those of you who know and who've been listening to this podcast, you know my situation. You know where I've been. You know where I'm gone. You know where I'm going. You know I've been an open book here on this podcast. And that's ultimately the reason why I started it, this podcast, to speak to the Black woman's journey in job searching, to speak to our experiences and our feelings and our ups and downs and how it really feels to be a Black woman in the job searching market, and when you are in it, when you come out of it, if you come out of it, what that experience is like. And I can only speak to my experience. My intent was to come on to talk to you guys about a Fast Company article that I read about how to identify a toxic work culture before accepting a job offer. And this podcast speaks to my experiences in the job searching space, right? Okay, so I'm trying to be really fast. I am really conscious about the timing of this podcast because I don't want to keep you here. And I will put this how to identify a toxic culture before accepting a job. And I think about my experience when I interviewed at Match.com, the online dating service. It's based here in Dallas. And it talks about in this article from Fast Company, again, I will post this in the show notes. It says, look past the superficial perks. It says, a lot of people consider perks as culture. Perks is just stuff people explain. Says, one pitfall that leads many candidates to believe in a culture that may not actually exist are superficial perks like a ping pong table in the break room or free lunches. Another one says, another point, it says, snoop around a bit during your interview. I had done that when I interviewed with Match. I was very observant, looking around the office, seeing what the spaces were looking like. I was looking to see if there were any Black people there. And there was one Black woman that I saw who's walking towards me. And my intent in my head was to, I did look her in the eye because I wanted to make eye contact with her and give her the silent, what's up? I see you. We see each other. She looked at me, but she didn't look at me. And I hope that makes sense because my intent was to give her the nod. Like that's the unspoken, what's up? I see you. We see each other nod. One Black person to Black person that we give. And she was not here for it. That was telling, right? I was listening to the conversations in the office. I was listening to the temperament in the office. I was very observant, right, in that experience at Match. Another experience in this article, it says, check the bathroom. It says, another place many wouldn't consider looking for clues on corporate culture is the bathroom. He says, here, my rule in the office is if I walk into the bathroom behind you and you didn't change the toilet paper, I don't care who you are. Today's your last day. I don't know what that means, but he explains that restaurant inspectors and reviewers often use the condition of the bathroom as a likely indicator of the cleanliness of the kitchen. And he believes job candidates should do the same. Yes, the feeling in the bathroom when you go to the bathroom speaks to the corporate culture as well. So I will paste this in the show notes. But those are all things as I read this article. I felt like, oh my God, are they speaking to me? That's what it felt like, because these are things that I used to look at all of these things. Before I even read this article, I was just being very perceptive and very conscious about what I was looking at and how I was feeling throughout that experience, throughout the experience of when I was interviewing at Match, the registration in the lobby, from the woman coming down to greet me, from our conversations in the elevator, from our conversations walking through the halls as she was talking to me. The experience at Match.com, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it about a 9. Nice. Not 10 because I didn't get the job, but, you know, I'm almost glad that I didn't get the job because I wouldn't have been able to land at the place that I am now. Right? So overall, I just wanted to come back and talk to you guys and give you an update on how things have been going. Things have been going well. I've been praying every day. I wake up every morning and I pray to God and I thank Him. And I'm prayful and I'm feeling blessed. It's hard, and I pause because I'm like, I feel blessed, but I just want to feel like I'm really feeling blessed. Right? The space that I have been in these past couple of years have just been tumultuous and up and down. So I just try to be positive and try to thank God and be really intentional and be in that headspace of thanking God. I'm in that adulting space. I'm looking for a new primary position. A black woman. I found the dentist. I'm looking for all everything black when starting this new job and new insurance provider. So you have to look for everybody new in your network. So that's what I'm doing right now. So with that, I just want to say, if you want to continue to rock with your girl, please continue to, you can support me here, but you can also support me on the next episode of Brownversations with the Beautiful Brown Girls community. Our next episode is on March 1st at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, we'll put this in the show notes. You can connect with your girl on Twitter at @sab_1908. You can also connect with me on Clubhouse at @sab1908. No underscore there. I am there. You can connect with me there. Would love to connect with you on either of those platforms. But I appreciate you here. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your listening ear. I always appreciate your listening ear. So I want to just say thank you again for rocking with your girl. And I will catch you again on the flip side. You take care, continue to protect your peace, and I'll catch you on the next episode. You take care. Bye.